S&T About Nothing podcast with my dad, Paris.
Welcome.
Can you hear me?
I can.
Good. All of a sudden, the internet flashed.
We reached our time limit is what it was.
There's a time limit?
No.
I was about to say.
All right.
Inconvenient.
Yeah. Skype. Totally inconvenient. All right. So I'm going to start again. Welcome Zach King to, the podcast again. I appreciate you joining me. As I was saying just a minute ago, it has been 3 months since I last did a show. So probably 12 episodes I probably should have done.
90 days.
Goodness. Well, so I don't really have a format or a specific subject for the show this evening. It is April 25th. It is 2018 still. So I haven't gone that far as to have not done a show. And I honestly think I really just want to have a conversation with Zach, and you all get to listen. But mostly it's been a long time since I have aired my grievances with the world, and I feel like tonight is probably the best night for it with everything that's going on politically. And Zach, I don't know how much you've been paying attention, because I haven't really. I find when I pay attention to stuff that I wind up being frustrated by it the most. I think one of the biggest things that's come about in the last 3 months is, I don't even know if you can really rank it as one of the biggest. It's one of the things that's occurred in the last 3 months is our president, Donald J. Trump, is pushing recently for a summit of sorts with the supreme leader of North Korea, Kim Jong-un, who yesterday or the day before, he actually called him honorable, completely negating and forget. Yeah. He called him honorable. And when he said this, it's like he completely forgets the fact that, one, he had his brother assassinated, his stepbrother or brother, half brother. And then two, he's had his uncle. He's had countless people assassinated that pose some sort of difference or threat to his, I don't know what to call it. His
regime.
Yeah. I mean, it's gotta be a regime.
Do not speak against Supreme Leader. Like, you cannot do that over there. You better snitch on your people over there. Like, they want to know. They have all these disgusting ways of making people tell on people that didn't actually do anything.
Yeah,
it's terrible.
Well,
it's awful.
But I don't even know if most of these people gotten an opportunity to actually speak out against Kim Jong Un. We are on Un, right? You know what?
I believe. Yes.
That'd be a funny.
Bill's gone. Un's here.
Yeah. That'd be a funny thing is if Il was number two, Un is three. I don't speak Korean, but I imagine I wonder if there isn't some sort of a pattern to the names, because it's always Kim Jong and then
the next one should be Kim Jong Un,
and then Kim Jong So, then Do
Kim Jong Out. Kim Jong Dun.
So I guess it was just last week that Kim Jong Un actually announced that North Korea was going to be suspending their nuclear weapon advancement, that they were going to be suspending the development of ballistic missiles, and it is. As of today, it's actually becoming more and more in light as to why he has done this. And it's not necessarily for peace. It is because the test. Yeah, go ahead.
The whole underground layer started caving in.
Yeah. So the testing facility where they do their nuclear explosion testing, they have apparently destroyed the inside of this mountain to the point where they can no longer test inside of it. The last test, which was 100 megaton or 100 kiloton atomic bomb, Apparently, this last time they set it off, which was what, in September, the explosion was so large that it created a 200 meter, I guess 200 meter in diameter hole inside the mountain, and it also created a chimney apparently for nuclear hazard, you know, nuclear radiation to escape from. And then within the last, I guess it was shortly after the explosion, it turns out that the inside of the mountain collapsed. So they yeah. have no inside mountain underground lair to test the nuclear bomb explosions. And right. What it sounds like is that the reason that they're giving up on it is because they have no other plausible locations to actually test the explosives in order to test nuclear bombs. So they have nowhere to go to test anymore. So they decided, well, we're just going to halt everything and maybe we can get peace with the South Koreans and then maybe the United States will kind of tag along.
Right. So Kim Jong-un blew up the fat cave.
That's right.
And now there's no more nuclear testing because if it's out in the open, people are going to get real pissed real quick.
It does tend to happen.
This is a North Korean thing. This is nothing new, though. You ever heard about that hotel they built in North Korea that I think they started in like the 70s and kicked it back off in the 80s, and they made a facade on the outside and they just kept lying about how nice it was, and then finally these group of journalists or something like that snuck up in there and the inside's just barren. It's a whole like, yeah, look at this massive hotel we've built, look at what we can do.
It's like a hotel at the Sochi Olympics.
Yeah, but worse, if you can even imagine that.
The one thing I remember the most from the Sochi Olympics was Bob Costas getting pink eye, because it turns out that somehow when they built the hotel that the correspondents and sports anchors were staying in, somehow the pipes for the water intake and the pipes for the sewage outflow got intertwined. So Bob Costas is taking a shower and he even said, yeah, the water smelled like shit, but he took a shower and then got pink eye and did almost the entire Olympics with pink eye.
Yeah, Bob, what happened? Well, my eyes started itching and I washed out with more water and it started itching even more.
Yeah.
I don't know.
That's like, well, we had a woman at work and I mean, I don't want to say her name, but we had a woman at work who had pink eye recently. And I happened to be over near their desks, her desk, and I said, she's wearing an eye patch. So I said, hey, arg, what's wrong? And and then one of her coworkers said, oh, she's got pink eye, because apparently when this particular person gets pink eye, it affects her ability to speak. So she didn't answer for herself. So you know. Since she's not going to talk, then I am going to talk. And when I talk, I usually get myself into a hole. So I happen to mention, I know how people get pink eye. It's usually because there's poop in their eyes. She didn't think it was funny. I thought it was hilarious, you know. But look, I've seen, which movie was it? Was it 40-Year-Old? No, it wasn't 40-Year-Old Version. It was
Knocked Up.
Yeah, Knocked Up. It was Knocked Up. Clearly somebody farted on her pillow, you know.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only answer I have for it. So, but yeah, so that's
what happened.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, that in my head, that's exactly what happened to her, was that someone either farted on her pillow or she got poop in her eye. Anyhow, so that's what's going on with North Korea. Apparently there is a summit that, our president is going to be joining with, South Korea's, Moon. Is it President Moon? I think it's President Moon. I take that back. President Moon. I hope that's right. I don't want to be that offensive. Sun, Moon.
I don't know. I just think it's appalling that the one thing Trump is doing is getting along with a dictator.
He's already doing it with Russia.
Yeah, Russia. Don't worry about it. Me and Putin are cool. Oh, speaking of that, the plane. Have you seen the whole thing about the plane tickets?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, but in so light, Trump says, enlighten us.
Yeah, I'll let you explain it.
Okay, yeah. All right. So the Steele dossier, basically, okay, just some background. So essentially what we have is back during 2015 and going into 2016, the Republican National Committee invested in this private investigator to look into President candidate Trump at the time's background and try and pick up things that the Republican National Convention could use against him in order to possibly turn voters against him, because he was going and turning out for all these huge rallies. I mean, I say huge. He had 15,000 to 20,000 people showing up for these rallies, and everyone that showed up just seemed to adore him, and that scared the RNC. So the RNC invests in getting Trump investigated. This investigation turned out a dossier they call the Steele dossier for the guy that was actually doing it. One of the things that turned out was that back in 2013, when President Trump was overseeing the Miss Universe pageant in Moscow, there were details and a video of President Trump receiving a golden shower during an event. The Russians basically hired prostitutes, and one of the things that in the dossier that it says is that President Trump likes to be peed on. Doesn't matter that they were Russian, doesn't matter they're prostitutes, he just likes being peed on.
And a good time's a good time,
Barry. Yeah, well, I'm not gonna judge him for it. I would just prefer that he come out and say, yeah, you know what, I have quirks. I like the idea of being peed on, and I enjoy it. He's not saying
there's absolutely no way that would ever happen then.
No, see, and that's the weird thing, because I think that if he were to come out and say, you know what, it's just one of my things, I'm into it. I think that if he were to come out and say it, even his supporters would be like, it's cool with us, you know?
Yeah.
We
yeah.
like it too.
They'd be like, oh, pee's pretty sweet.
Yeah. But one of the things that President Trump told James Comey when he was the FBI director was that he did not has never stayed overnight in Russia. Well, it turns out this week that flight records indicate that President Trump flew into Moscow on a Friday for the pageant and then flew out on Sunday. So he was there overnight. The only thing that, what President Trump said was that he has never slept overnight in Russia. And there's no way to prove that he actually slept. In fact, I suspect that if someone peed in his bed, it was probably difficult to sleep.
He was probably in shock of the amount of pee that was on him, maybe. I don't know.
Well, if it was multiple prostitutes, it could have been a lot of pee.
Guys, it was the goldest pee you've ever seen. It was huge.
It was mixed with Russian angst. So
Jay Vodka.
Yeah, so now we have flight records that indicate that the president did in fact stay not one but two nights in Russia, and that
Barrett, he didn't sleep.
Again, well, and that's the catch all is that he can say, well, I did not sleep overnight in Russia. Or maybe he slept over day. Maybe he slept during the day because the pageant. I mean, from what it sounds like, he sleeps fairly frequently during the day now. You know, they talk about the fact that he doesn't come down from the residence until usually 11, almost 12 o'clock in the afternoon, and that he's usually back up there by 6. If he's that tired or that he just needs that much time away from the Oval Office, I fully believe there's possibility that they shut everything out so that he can take a nap in the Oval Office. Could you imagine? He's probably, I'm not saying he's the first president to nap in the Oval Office, but could you imagine that, you know, the thing that I constantly hear people complain about my liking of Bernie Sanders. And I just want to clarify, it's not that I was more supportive of, or I was less supportive of Trump or less supportive of Clinton or more supportive of Bernie Sanders. Yes, I donated to Bernie Sanders' campaign. I definitely believed in how he was running his campaign. I believe in some of the things that he campaigned for. I definitely believe in Absolutely. the I believe in the idea that while I don't necessarily believe it's entirely possible in the United States with the way that our insurance is set up, that we could have a single payer system where there was where we all paid into, you know, a Medicare for all type system. I don't know that it's possible. I think it's rather difficult to pull off. I don't know that we could possibly have education for all. I don't know that we could have a tuition free education system. I just don't know that it's possible. I like the idea of it. I'm not asking anyone to fork out a ton of money for this, except for the fact that, you know, educating the population should be important in the United States because it advances us, and really and truthfully, it aligns us better with the populations of the world that are already doing it. Having a universal healthcare system would give, I'm not saying that you have to choose a universal healthcare system, but the idea that there is a public option available and that it, you know, it basically lends the idea to the fact that you could have a public option that competes directly with the for-profit insurance companies that we all pay into now. I mean, Obamacare did a lot to get that direction, but it failed in the sense, in my opinion, Obamacare fails, or the Affordable Care Act fails, in the sense that it's not necessarily a public option. It is a mandatory. It's been made into a mandatory system. So if you don't have insurance, you have to at least get this if you fit a certain criteria. And that to me, that to me was disappointing. I didn't like the requirement part of it, but I recognize the necessity for the requirement, because otherwise, how are you going to pay for it? You know,
exactly.
I think one of the things that irritated me the most is the fact that Republicans sit there and talk about how much Obamacare costs the nation. And that's complete bullshit, because Obamacare has an extremely low cost because people pay into it and then it pays back out. It's like Medicare. Medicare literally has less than a 1% overhead cost because people pay into it with our Social Security and our insurance, and then it pays out when claims are filed and things like that. So the administrative costs are even lower. You don't have the administrative costs because it's not for profit. But Blue Cross Blue Shield of South Carolina, or George Anthem of Georgia, Blue Cross of Kentucky, all of these for-profit insurance companies are paying their CEOs and board members millions of dollars a year in salary, and then millions of dollars a year in bonuses. So and it affects. I mean, it affects the people that are paying for it. I mean, even this.
Well, and that's something that you and I can speak on firsthand. We see that. We understand that.
We pay a lot for insurance. Well, wait. Do you have the PPO or the high deductible?
I got the PPO. Yeah. But it jumps from, let's say it's like $160 per pay period. Let's say a month, whatever. It jumps up if you want to add a spouse or something. Paying about $4 to $5.
The insurance to cover my family where we work, I am paying more than $15,000 a year to have my family insured under the PPO. I don't know that I find it worth it, because honestly, the biggest cost in medical expenses that I have in my family is what's taken out of my insurance, or what's taken out for insurance. That to me is frustrating. I mean, I go to the doctor a couple times a year. My kids go to the doctor, you know, they get their regular checkups and things like that. So, you know, and in fact, those are covered under wellness visits. So they don't even get, like, insurance pays for it, but I'd get that under the high deductible, but I'm uncomfortable with the idea of there being some sort of an emergency, say like an appendectomy, you know, say my appendix ruptured and I didn't know it and I'm stuck in the hospital like our good friend Dustin. There's those situations where I want to make sure that I have as much coverage as possible. And because I'm afraid of that happening, the whole reason behind insurance is that I pay for the PPO, I pay for the preferred plan. So, I'm willing to do it, but I'm going to cuss about it because it is frustrating. We work for a company that handles benefit administration. And for the life of me, because we make sure that communications between us and carriers such as Blue Cross and the United Healthcares and things like that, we literally make it easier for them to handle employers, and they don't seem to cut us any breaks on that. I don't know how we got into this.
Not at all. Well, I do. So let me catch it. I've been holding on to the little nugget. So you're right. When you said you didn't know of things like tuition-free education and socialized healthcare, let's call it what it is. Those things are absolutely doable, but the reason that they aren't doable at the moment is the same reason that a guy like Trump's in the office.
Right.
Because you have uneducated people that can be talked to by a smooth criminal and have their minds persuaded. So even in like the 1950s, communism and socialism was a taboo thing. I mean, and we won't get into religion, but they also started pinning that up on a bunch.
Sure.
So that's all been frowned upon, and it's been frowned upon not that long ago. I mean, it's the 50s. I mean, your grandparents can sit there and tell you and have strong, staunch opinions on communism and socialism. They say it's all the devil. Well, time out. You pay taxes for your police. You pay taxes for your ambulance. I'll take the ambulance out of that because you do pay for that. Your firemen and stuff like that, that is a social service. That is a socialized a way of being protected. Agreed. And things like that. That is a completely plausible thing. So when they say that you're going to raise their taxes for this or that, there's going to be somebody come and spin it and put horns on it and make people afraid of it.
Right.
When in reality, it works. Go ask the UK, go ask Australia, go ask Canada, go ask all these other countries that make it work. And not only do they make it work, guess what? You're not hearing about them in the news unless somebody just doing something to them.
Right.
Like it's so doable, but The biggest factor in all of it, Barrett, is change.
Yeah.
Good, bad, ugly, and different. Change terrifies people.
Oh yeah.
They don't want it to change. They're afraid if it changes even for the good. Well, they're gonna watch me. Well, time out. What are they gonna watch you for? Your name is Betsy, you're 65, you're 300 pounds, you sit on your couch. They don't care what you're gonna do. Unless you're doing something stupid, which they should watch you for that, right?
Yeah, I'll be honest.
I'm going to shoot someone on social media.
Yeah. No, I'll be honest with you. I'm more concerned about what the Nielsen ratings are finding her watching on television and counting her for, 10,000 viewers, and all she's watching is, I don't know, whatever.
The Kardashians. On.
Yeah, there you go. You know what, though? I'm gonna stop you right there because I hate to admit this. I don't hate to admit it. I do watch Jersey Shore. Even the new ones. You didn't throw up in your mouth, did you? I saw.
I'm looking for the turnoff button. On
that, is that what it is? Okay. Find. Look, yeah. I will be completely honest with you. It is so easy to just turn your brain completely off when you're watching, Southern Charm or Jersey Shore or Survivor or whatever. I mean, they're all reality story-based television, but it's so easy just to watch it and just go, oh, and after a day of work, you go home and you're like, oh, look, the situation's on. I'm going to watch this.
I'm sorry, Baird. I cannot agree with you.
Hold on. Snooki. I don't know. I hate the
fact that I know the situation and Snooki.
J-Lo.
Oh, my God.
J-Lo? Is that her name?
Ron, go ahead and name them all.
All right. I'll do it. You put me up to it. I'll do it. You got DJ Pauly D. You got Ronnie. You got Vinny. You got Mike the Situation. I don't know his last name. You got Dina and Nicole Snooki. J-Lo, I can't remember what their real name, I can't remember what most of their real names are. So but I do watch Southern Charm because with Southern Charm that happens in Charleston and they go to places that I've been to and I see, so I fully admit.
I get it. Everyone likes to watch a train wreck.
Yes. Yes, like at work. I watch train wrecks at work all the time. I usually
absolutely.
I will cause them sometimes too.
We were talking about watching stuff. Have you seen Wild Wild Country on Netflix?
No, I have not.
You should do yourself a favor to just watch these people, man.
I'm going to add it to my list.
Gabrielle and I were talking. Like, it's about a cult that comes from India, right? And it's all good vibes and love each other. We're not doing drugs. We're not drinking. All this stuff. But they come to America, and what they do is they buy up all this land. And the first episode is they're not even talking about where the money's coming from. Actually, it's not even a point.
Okay.
But it's thousands and thousands of people. They buy up all this land in Oregon. And they eventually get big enough where they buy the town. They vote the town out. But it's all this brainwashing of meditation, and you'll see them like hollering and jumping and stuff. And it just shows you, you're like, I would never go for that. But do you truly know whether or not you would go for it at the time? You know what I mean? It came to a point, Barrett, they buy out the police force. They
really?
They get registered police officers who have access in the 80s to the police database and stuff like that, which is like the most sensitive information you can have at the time when it came to like the general public. They had weapons that normal civilians could not use, but they started tried to get them because there's a separation of church and state as stated in the Constitution. It doesn't verbatim say church and state.
Sure.
It says no institution can be governed by religion or something. Don't quote me on it. It is in there. And so they tried getting them at that, and I won't ruin it, but it goes through all the rigmarole of the whole thing. And it just blows my mind because it even makes me think back and go like, well, how many people have people followed back in the day before it could be publicly announced through TV and radio, even in the 80s?
Yeah.
That they would just follow them because it made them feel better or things like that. It really makes you think if you watch it. So Wild Wild Country, anyone listening, you should definitely check it out.
I'm downloading the first two episodes right now on Netflix, so I'll definitely check that out. You know what? That's funny. That actually transitions into the next thing I want to discuss, and ironic. So that apparent that you said they're Indian. This I guess the leader of that group is a spiritual guru. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay.
It had a visa here as a religious leader.
So did you hear about this Siramalani? I totally just destroyed his name, which I would apologize.
It's like my name's Abu Atapa.
His name is, yeah. So his supporters know him as Asaram Bapu. And I apologize for the sound, but okay. So his name is Asaram Bapu, and apparently he is an Indian guru. He's a spiritual guru, and he's followed by thousands. Okay, 77-year-old. He's simply known as Bapuji or Bapu means it means father in Hindi, and he's got 230 ashrams across India. So I guess India, the U.S., Kenya, Uganda, Canada. Anyway, so this spiritual guru apparently is being jailed now and is on trial for raping a 16-year-old girl. This 77-year-old man, how does that happen? I mean, I'm not asking about like the actual physical raping. I get that. But it's 77 years. My parents are 76 and 75. How, I can't imagine a situation where they would ever, this would ever happen. And maybe it's the same thing like with the president, that it's just the idea that, you know, you have this power, you know, with the President Trump, it's that he has this power, or, you know, before he was president, it was that he was rich, and that because he was rich, he believed he could do whatever it was he wanted. And maybe it's the same thing with this guy, is that this guru who basically has taught enlightenment and spiritual, you know, direction and things like that, that, you know, because he's got so many followers and so many, you know, people believe in him, and he's got this power that it's too hard to not take advantage of. You know, I think I think that's probably the situation. Apparently, but the verdict came in and then his followers were outraged over it, and it enraged his followers. Apparently, 30 people were killed in what can only be described as a riot, you know, over the fact that this 77-year-old man who was leading them is now going to jail for raping a child, a 16-year-old girl.
Well, here's the thing, and this may go against what other people think, and I don't mean it that way, so please do not take offense. People have a hard time dealing with life. That's why you have depression. That's why you have all these types of anger, things like that. Then someone will come along who tells you it doesn't have to be that way. And you say, okay, how? And they'll tell you a bunch of things you've never heard before.
Right.
They'll make you feel a bunch of things you've never felt before. And they'll tell you there's a way that you're okay. So what you feel is not permanent. Like, all these different feelings, and they can work it. That's what they do, is to make you feel comfortable, to make you feel free, to take what's bothering you and relieve you of it. That's how it is. And from a younger age to an older age, it really doesn't matter. I like to say that as an atheist, everybody has a button. If I have a debate with a religious person, there's a button on there, and you have to talk to them and feel it out to find out where it is. And finally, you get your finger on it, you press it, which makes them think about it.
Right.
So it's not hard to put this veil over somebody of feel good. Listen, like, just like we were just talking about that wild, wild show. Here, this will make you feel better. Come sit down, and I'll start jumping up and down.
Yep.
Start screaming. Let it out. Scream. And you're doing it for an hour. Now sit down and be quiet. Close your eyes and think. I mean, it's just things like that. Have any of those people who first got there ever done that? Probably not.
Probably.
And did they feel some type of way about it? Absolutely. So they come with these new feelings, and they say, what is this, sensei, guru, messiah, whatever you want to call it? And he says, that's enlightenment, that's peace. We're going to do this all. Like, it's not hard to trick somebody into that if you're, one, I don't necessarily believe that that these gurus or things like that, these cult leaders, believe they're wrong.
Right.
Necessarily. They very well could, but they believe they're, I think they, oh my God.
I think at times they wind up thinking, did you spill something?
No, I thought I couldn't hear you. Sorry, folks.
No. I understand what you're saying. I think what it is that they you know, it's kind of like I think one of the things that people have the hardest time that, okay, let's say you're a Trump supporter, and as a Trump supporter, anything that comes out about President Trump saying in a negative light, that people have a really difficult time wrapping their head around the idea that he is capable of either doing it. And then because he never, I mean, I'll be honest, he does deny some things, but some things he doesn't deny. And I think that might just be because, maybe he doesn't remember. I don't know, but there is this intense following behind, some of the people that support the president, and probably the same as this guru, is that this idea that they can't, they are incapable of doing this wrong. And if they did do it, then they did it with intent. They did it for a reason. They did it because they were backed into a corner. They did it because it was out of necessity. There was something that made them, that forced them to do it. And it's all denial. You know, it is because I guarantee, and look, while I think that Obama was a decent president, I think that there were faults that could have been taken care of. I think that
absolutely.
Yeah. So I had the ability to look at the presidents as individuals and how they did the job. And when history comes back and it looks at how the president Trump represented the office and how he was, I think that it's going to look at him extremely negatively. I think the historians are already writing the books that are basically going to paint the picture of how this presidency was handled. It, you know, and I don't we transitioned to this, and I think it's because I was reading an article about the president while you were talking, but I was paying attention, so don't fault me. But yeah, basically, I think that there is this idea that these people that come into these leadership roles, that they are without fault. But it is that there are that they honestly, I think that the reason that most people come into these positions is because there is some sort of weakness. There is something in them that drives them to become politicians or drives them to become religious leaders, because they are missing something, or they have something that is not there that this fills that hole. You know, we have churches here in South Carolina and Columbia that are considered these mega churches. They have tens of thousands of followers that come to the church every week, or they go to these satellite churches and watch them on video. These pastors that make $2 and $3 million a year, and for them that's filling the hole. But the pastor, the reason he's there is because he is using that office. I'm not saying he's using all of them, but I have this fear that these people are following men, and I honestly can't say women, because I don't know any of these mega churches that have the women, you know, pastors, you know, because
Joyce Myers.
But a Baptist church, a Southern Baptist church, or a Southern Pentecostal church. I don't know.
Yeah, you're right. Okay. Yeah, you're right about that.
You know, the idea that. You know, they're following these people, and I'm not saying that like the Joel Osteens of the world are evil. I'm just saying that they are in that position because I don't believe it's because they want to provide this service or they want to be a leader of people religiously. I'm hypocritical about it. I believe that they have something in their life that is a hole, and that this then fills that hole, and it's taking. I don't want to say it, but I feel like it's taking advantage of those people. And the president is exactly the same. He has a hole in his life that made him want to run for president because he likes the attention. I think that hole is the fact that if he's not in the spotlight, if he's not got something going on in the news or in the media about him, then he's got to make it happen. I mean, that's the whole idea behind him tweeting on a Sunday morning. Nobody's talking about the president on a Sunday morning until he starts tweeting, you know, and then all of a sudden everyone's, right. You know, they're in war mode because they're having to cover the fact that the president just said there's no, you know, he's going to ban transgender people from being in the army. Well, that's going to be, you know, 12, you know, I don't know what the percentage is, but that's going to be a percentage of the people that are currently enlisted, you're now saying are not good enough to throw their lives in front of bullets or to protect the nation
for irrational reasons.
Yeah. And honestly, I don't even know if President Trump really feels that way, because I think that he's just playing a role. I absolutely still believe that this president is less a Republican than he is a Democrat. And I feel like he is less a conservative than he is a liberal. The president of the United States that we currently have in place used to be in favor of women's rights, used to be in favor of the option of abortion. He used to be against capital punishment. He used to be against the idea. He used to be in favor of a universal health care system. He used to be in favor of an education system that was free and available to all. And this wasn't like it was decades ago. We're talking 5 years ago. He donated to Hillary's campaign when he was running for president. So,
he's one of those people. You have met people who when they talk to you, they act like you act. They try to like what you like. He's a chameleon of sorts. If it'll win him what he wants, that's what he'll say. He got Mike Pence. I guarantee you Mike Pence just slides a piece of papers across the desk and goes, "Mr. President, this is something we should have to do right here. So let's go ahead and do that." And he's like, "All right, Mike, you got it. Perfect. Yeah. All right." So it's just, I mean, there's so many factors. And
yes.
To try to be naive enough to say like I can pinpoint it, I don't think anyone really truly can. I think you can get a grasp of what it is. You can go by the actions of a man and the actions of this man are not good ones. I mean, even Ms. Bush, she just was deceased. She had nothing but venom to talk about him. And I found that pretty funny.
Yeah. Well,
go ahead.
I was just going to say the Bushes are not fans of Donald Trump. And see, that's the other thing is so, you know, I look back and I think, okay, President Clinton, the Clintons. I think back President Bush, it's the Bushes. I mean, you know, I can name George H.W. Bush as the father. I can name George W. Bush as the son. I can name Jeb Bush as the other son. Yep. I know the daughters of George W. Bush. I know that George H.W. Bush had, you know, I feel like I know. And while I don't necessarily agree with everything that President H.W. Bush was, I don't necessarily agree with everything that he stood for, I still hold him in high regard. I was a child when Reagan was president, but I'll be completely honest with you. I don't fault him as a human being, in the sense that I think that he was a decent person. I think that he had people around him that led that particular president in ways that were negative in a sense for the country. The whole idea behind trickle down economics is just asinine. The idea that rich people, you save money for rich people because of taxes, or you save them money in some other way, that will trickle down to the rest of people. You know why the rich stay rich? Is because they don't spend their money. That's why the rich stay rich. But I look back at all these presidents and I think that was a good person. I think that Obama was a good person. I think that Clinton, while faulted, I think that he did have faults. I think that he was a good president. I think that he did. I think that he looked out for the country. I think that George, while I disagree with going into Iraq and Afghanistan, I see the necessity of it based on the information that maybe he was provided, or, you know, even if it was inaccurate information that he was provided, I still recognize that he had interests for the country that were in place that seemed to, he wanted to protect the country. He wanted to protect our democracy. He wanted to make things, he wanted to create a situation that would protect the citizens of the United States. And
well, can I jump in?
Yeah, go ahead.
Here. So I think the fundamental difference between George W. Bush and Trump, I think they're both stupid and are dim-witted.
Sure.
Okay. I'm not going to sit there and sugarcoat it, but I think George Bush was more of like, he was that guy. He'd be on screen going, of course, like he's going to agree with you in times, and then Cheney will come around and just go like, hey, yeah, we're going to go into Iraq again. We're going to do that. I bet you we can do it. And he was just influenced, and he's like, all right, if that's what you think is best, his intentions at heart were good.
Right.
So then at time, and now this time around, you have someone like Trump, who's a greedy person, period.
Yeah.
Who is entitled.
Right. What,
his fault or not, he's indoctrinated to be entitled. Since he was a kid, you're a billionaire. Let's do this. And so he thinks the way he thinks. And the thing about him is that he's smart enough to know when you're going against him. And he'll show you, like an arrogant child stomping his feet down the hallway, that he doesn't like what you're doing.
Sure.
But he'll also have these other people in his ear. But he also has people in his ear that did it, like Paul Ryan. I honestly, in my heart of hearts, cannot believe, this is so super subjective, that Paul Ryan wanted to be Speaker of the House for Donald Trump.
Yeah,
he I think he had in his head something completely different, but he took it because it was an opportunity of a lifetime.
Yeah,
but now look at Paul Ryan. What's Paul Ryan doing?
Well, I think what Paul Ryan probably thought when Trump wound up being elected, because in all honesty, they both got elected at the same time, because if you're a representative, you have to run every 2 years, which means that he was up for election when Trump got elected. I fully believe that no one thought that Trump was going to win. So Paul Ryan knew, in Paul Ryan's head, I think that he believed that he was going to be Speaker of the House during a Clinton presidency, and he would And basically he would ride the wave, because historically this is what happens. If a Republican president is in place and Republicans have some sort of control over the legislative branch, whether it's the Senate or the representatives, typically what happens is come midterms, there is a flip-flop. I mean, usually you will see the other party take control. And that is likely what's going to happen this fall, is that when we get to the midterms, is we're going to probably see Democrats take over the House of Representatives, which, both the House and the Senate are supposed to be equal in their power. You know, you've got 435 representatives in the House, and you've got 100 senators in the Senate. But the idea is that they're supposed to both be equal. So one creates a bill, the other one, and then votes on it. The other one then gets to take that bill and change it and then vote on it. And then it makes its way to the president. I feel like in the situation that we have currently, which may have been part of the reason that Paul Ryan decided that he was not going to continue in his campaign to run for reelection. I feel like he recognizes that basically right now in the Senate or in Congress, the Senate is the one that's in control. The Senate is the one that is handling the investigation into the president, because Paul Ryan had almost no input or no say in how the House of Representatives handled the investigation into the president. And they closed it out because Devin Nunes is basically in Trump's back pocket, reaching around on the president. So you've got this sheep following the president. And then and Paul Ryan had no ability to control what was going on there. They did get that initial the American health bill. They did get it passed, but it went to the Senate and then got shut down, which everyone knew it was going to happen. There, anyone that says that they thought that the Republicans were going to get enough votes to get the American health bill into place is talking out of their ass. They're morons. That it wasn't going to, it was never going to happen, because that was not a Senate bill. That was a House bill. And they did not have the opportunity to get it worked out in committee the way that the Senate would have wanted to. So they basically threw it up for a vote with Mitch McConnell, threw it up for a vote knowing that it wasn't going to happen and pretending like he was disappointed. He didn't care. And then so the president gets to talk about how mean this bill is. And the whole thing was almost like it was completely scripted. And I feel like I'm almost certain that it was scripted. They all knew. But regardless, Paul Ryan thought that he was going to be Speaker of the House over a Clinton presidency. He did not think that it was going to be over a Trump presidency. And you cannot control this president. You cannot. And I get so irritated when I hear people say, well, you know, it's good that we can't control the president, because that means that, you know, that he's doing what he thinks is best. No, that's bullshit.
He's
doing what he read last. I believe that read. I don't know why I said read. The man doesn't read. He's doing what he was
somebody who does what he does.
Yeah.
Right.
So
I mean, if you're president, if you're getting your information from your president on Twitter, he literally is just a fireball flying down the lane.
Yeah.
As to whatever comes to his head. Like this, and you know, and this is kind of even it's a political thing, but he doesn't represent, I hate to call it like regality of the presidency, but as a president, you should compose yourself as a leader of the world and represent people in a class act manner.
Right.
You know what I mean?
I agree.
He doesn't do that.
No.
I mean, Kim Jong-un is more of a class act than he is. I don't know what else to tell you.
Which may be why
present
the president...
yourself as a... Yeah.
Yeah, which may be why the president called him honorable the other day. I mean, he literally called Kim Jong-un honorable. And I think we talked about that earlier. But, you know, It's extremely frustrating listening to people that support the president talk about how terrific he is, what a great job he's doing. And I it's not that I'm trying to say they're wrong. It's not that I'm trying to find holes in their statement, but
you're entitled to your opinion.
Yeah, of course. But if I'm going to give someone else my opinion, I want to make sure that it's based on enough factual information that I have seen myself before actually telling someone, no, you're wrong. This isn't the case. We were sitting with
thank you.
We were sitting with people at lunch and somebody said something about the wall, and I said, well, you know, and I said this out of turn. I should not have said it because I don't know it to be factual, but it feels pretty factual based on statements. But I said, well, the president hates Mexicans, and that's why we need the wall. And I was corrected. I was told, no, he doesn't hate Mexicans. He just wants to secure the border. And I said, our border is pretty secure. I mean, even in places that we have holes, the reason that we have holes on our border is because we count on Mother Nature to provide that wall that we need. There are mountainous regions that people are unwilling to cross. There are deep rivers that people are unwilling to cross. There are places that we do not literally have fencing or wall because Mother Nature has provided a natural barrier. But
well, there's places that they're willing to cross that they won't cross.
Right. So, but my belief in the president hating Mexico is based or Mexicans is completely based on the things that he has said in his campaigning, in his presidency. You know, it is purely based on the idea or the things that he has actually said. So yes, I have made.
I don't think he hates Mexico.
No. Oh. Well, then I might be wrong.
I don't think he hates Mexico. I think he knows that people who like him hate Mexicans.
Yeah.
Mexican.
Well, I think
I take it back. I mean, actually, I think he knows that the base, let's say it again.
Yeah.
I think a lot of them, and I don't want to paint this with such a broad brush, man, but I live here. You live here. You understand it. You hear what's said. I've heard it from blood relatives. What's said. People don't like Mexicans because they're different to a degree, and I agree with some of the immigration standards that need to be upheld, but let's face facts. I honestly don't think Trump hates Mexicans or Mexico. I think that he knows that his people who support him do, and that was a heavy leverage for him to get elected, to build this wall.
No, I like I said, it's my disgust over what seems to be his... I want to say it is his presence or his position over this idea that we have to keep everyone out. And look, I get it. There's the threat of terrorism is constant. The threat of illegal immigration, the threat of drugs coming in over the border, under the border, right. Whatever.
Absolutely.
You know, there are all these things. And honestly, you know, I don't know. Why, you know, I one of the biggest problems I have, or one of the biggest problems our country has with the drugs coming over the border or coming under the border is that when drugs are purchased in the United States, whether it's, you know, cocaine or heroin or whatever, that money goes back to fund the drug cartels. And from the drug cartels, we don't know where that money goes. Is it possible that some of that money is going into terrorism? Is it some of that money going into not necessarily terrorism against us, but terrorism against citizens of other countries that perhaps, you know,
what I think of most of that money is?
What's that?
That greasy across your palm money. Leave me alone. Don't talk about this. Leave me alone. Money.
So
every time the drugs are sold, the deal, like, in Colombia, the cartel is going to control most of it, and the government's going to say, all right, as long as you don't go out and do this or that, kill people, whatever, fine, we'll leave you alone because you're sitting there just throwing them lots of cash because guess what? People are buying it across the border. That's
right.
What happens.
Right. And so that's where I was going to go with that, was that the idea was is that it's not necessarily that that we're trying to stop drugs from entering the country. We already have a problem with drugs, and those are the pharmaceuticals that are available to everybody.
Absolutely.
But the problem is that there is no way for anyone in the United States to actually make money off of the drugs that come in over the border, because that money goes back to the southern countries. If the pharmaceutical countries,
the biggest proportion of it, for sure.
Yeah, well, I mean, the OxyContin that's available to patients in here in the United States is far more addictive than cocaine, heroin, or acid. I mean, the pharmaceuticals are pushing medicines here in the United States through, you know, licensed doctors and they're making a killing off of it. It's people need to look into some of the statistics on the information. Basically, if a patient has the option of doing heroin versus or an opiate of some sort, or taking the prescription pills that were, you know, prescribed to them of OxyContin or something like that, they're going to choose their prescription pills because that OxyContin gets them more high than the heroin will.
I mean, right, and they could have gone into that head first, unbeknownst to them that was what's going to happen.
Exactly.
That they're getting into this dirty world of, holy crap, I really like that, whether I personally really like that or not. It's addictive.
Yeah, absolutely. And
I can even tell you a personal story. My brother, that's exactly what got him to the road of escapism. That is verbatim what we just said, how we got there.
Yeah. And it is the corporate money necessity here in the United States is that the reason I feel like the reason we're pushing for this big border wall, or the reason the president's pushing for the border wall, is because his friends that work in the pharmaceutical companies make more money if less drugs are coming in from the southern border. You know,
let's be real. A wall is not stopping that.
No, it never will. First of all, the wall, any wall they put up, regardless of how big and beautiful it is never going to stop illegal immigration. It's never going to stop the import of medication. It's never going to stop the import of drugs. You know what will stop it, or not necessarily stop
information, it? Education, and
legalization.
Well, for sure. I mean, legalization of like medical marijuana and things that are proven to be so just shouldn't be on it. The reason, and you know, this is beating a dead horse, but marijuana is not legal for what it was doing to people, illegal for what it was doing to people. It's illegal for who it was taking money out of the pockets of.
And a lot of people don't know this, but I assume you might, but marijuana was taken off, or marijuana was put onto the controlled substances, the scheduled one narcotics, because of the impact that hemp was having on the cotton industry here in the United States. Cotton was being devastated financially by hemp, because you can take hemp and do anything with it. You can build
paper,
paper, clothing. You can build buildings out of it. If they put hemp into the mixture that's created to use concrete and asphalt, you have roads that don't create potholes the way that plain rock asphalt does, or plain concrete asphalt, plain rock concrete. You know, using sand. If you use hemp fibers to build buildings, you have the ability to keep a building standing in earthquakes that would normally fall in smaller earthquakes. I mean, the idea of having this fabric woven inside of the actual building material, regardless, cotton was getting its ass kicked, and it's because of hemp. And the reason that it was put on the Schedule I narcotics, regardless of the fact that hemp and marijuana are not the same things, I don't think people know that, but hemp... To take and put hemp and marijuana on the Schedule I narcotics list was an attempt to basically save cotton. And guess what? We don't grow that much cotton anymore. Tobacco and cotton have been all offshore to Vietnam and China, and you know, so it's to me, it is ridiculous for it to even still be on there. There are medical there are medical benefits to marijuana that my brother,
CBD and stuff like that. I mean,
yeah,
seizures, all that.
Yeah. My brother has seizures, and because he has been on a regimented, allotment of, CBD oil for the past year and a half, he has had one seizure in almost 18 months, one seizure, where it was common for him to have three or four a week. He has had one seizure, 18 months. It's unheard of. And the fact that they would, that we have politicians that, I mean, the politicians don't want there to be the legalization of marijuana, because I believe that they're still getting money out of the cotton industry, or they're still getting money out of the tobacco industry that does not want marijuana legalized. You do not have the addictive characteristics to marijuana that you do to just regular cigarettes.
Well, and you're also people in, especially here and other out west too, you're still facing the boom of the outcry against it, like the marijuana craze, the madness, like dirty dopers, all that stuff. You can go ask your grandma right now and be like, why is marijuana be illegal? You get high, they're not safe, you're getting high, you're nothing, you're slow, you're sleeping, all this stuff. It's like, time out. You're going off of word of mouth things. You're not going off of fact, which is what everyone, and I'm going to tie it back in. If you believe in something so much, well, no matter what it is, religion, politics, anything, test what you believe in.
Right.
Listen to the other side.
Right.
Take what you believe in and stress test it. Put it up there. If the other person's making sense, maybe you should be on the other side of the fence.
Yeah.
Be real with what you're doing.
Yeah.
And somebody when it comes to the marijuana industry that everyone listening should listen to is Cory Booker, the senator out of New Jersey.
I agree.
Complete advocate. He's like, I'm not messing with this state level stuff anymore. He's trying to get it pushed to the federal level, because if you look at the facts and you're seeking the truth, the ridiculousness of marijuana being illegal is ridiculous.
Right.
And it's basic fact, and it's a beating a dead horse, but alcohol is illegal because people are making money off of it. All right, fine. You can look at Colorado, look at Washington, look at all these states, look how much money they're making.
Right.
So why don't you want in onto that? Well, the reason they don't want in on it is because of this already laid down path stigma. That everyone's already thinking, this stigma, this indoctrination growing up, don't smoke weed, you're gonna be a dirty doper, you don't want to do that, you'll be working this and that. No. it's just somebody's peace of mind. It's a subjective opinion.
Yeah. No, and I completely agree. So, all right. So, we'll change gears just briefly, because I am interested in this last thing that we'll talk about, and then we'll wrap it up, because we've done well. We've gone over the hour mark already. Congratulations.
Yeah, I see that. Yeah.
So, Michael Cohen has stated, apparently in the media this week, actually just this afternoon, this evening, that he will be pleading the fifth in the lawsuit filed by Stephanie Clifford, the porn star, Stormy Daniels. Apparently he is going to plead the fifth, so that he does not instigate any information that he would not want to put out there about the president. He does not want to make the president look bad, so he's willing to plead the fifth.
Smart move.
I guess. I mean, honestly,
if you're a dirty bastard, that's what you do.
The problem that I have, I get the problem that I have with it, because I could care less. I mean, so the president had an affair. Big deal. I'm not saying that affairs are good. I'm simply saying that I don't really have a lot more faith in this president to do something different than that. I feel like that, you know, he cheated on his first wife with his second wife. He cheated on his second wife with his third wife. He cheated on his third wife with multiple strippers and playboy, you know, strippers and prostitutes and whatnot. I'm not saying that all that actually happened. It's alleged, but
it's gross.
But I don't hold the president in any sort of moral high standing. And honestly, if you are a supporter of President Trump and you do say that you hold the president in a high moral standing, you're an idiot. And I'm not trying to insult you or your family or anything like that, but I definitely feel like you are without knowledge. You are ignoring the facts of history around President Trump.
His evangelical what do they call it, his evangelical, it's not a prayer circle,
rebirth,
it's like his advisors, his religious advisors, like in it's not Peter Popoff, but it's the other guy who went to jail for lying, but he now sells the rapture buckets.
Sure. Yes. Yeah. 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 I know you're talking about.
I wish I could remember his name.
I know who you're talking about. Yeah. Which, by the way,
he's part of it. I'm like, what?
If I get raptured, what am I going to need a bucket for? I mean, you know, the supplies and whatnot. What am I going to need all that for?
Exactly. Like, I've not been good, I believe.
And if let's say that, yeah, let's say most people do get raptured and I'm left here, then doesn't that mean that, there's grocery stores? I mean, the grocery stores aren't going anywhere. The food's not going anywhere. Why would they rapture the food?
Well, there's not a whole lot of people going to heaven anyway, so yeah, they'll all be good.
I feel like we're safe. I'm not saying I won't get raptured.
Daryl, my bag boy, you're still here. Hallelujah.
The produce manager. Yeah, produce manager stuck around. He put all the bananas out. That's great.
It's like, you know what? I'm not getting my produce from you anymore. You didn't get raptured.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, so that means you're like shopping at Food Lion and not Publix. Oh, Lord. Well, anyway. So, yeah. So, Michael Cohen has decided he's going to plead the fifth to protect the president. Apparently that trial is, I guess it's already begun, or it's about to start. And all of this is behind the payment. Basically, Stormy Daniels or Stephanie Clifford is suing Michael Cohen and President Trump, over this, non-disclosure agreement that they made her sign, but then the president did not sign. So she is suing to do away with the non-disclosure. There's not any money involved. She's offered to pay back the $130,000, you know. So basically she wants out of this non-disclosure, or she wants someone to basically tell her that because the president did not sign the non-disclosure, that it's delegitimized, that she can speak out, and I'll be honest with you, all she's doing is looking to write a book. Or she's looking to be able to be paid for these interviews that she has, and more power to her. I mean, that's the same thing that James Comey did. I don't think that he is speaking out, and he has written this book as an attempt to get his story out or set the record straight. I think he's just selling a book. And
to play the devil's advocate, what if they're just trying to get back at a dirtbag?
Maybe it could be.
That's just the other side of the coin. You don't know till you know.
Yeah, and chances are we'll never know. You know, I mean, all of these things will just be. You know, if you watch Fox News, then it's all fake news. It's if you're watching MSNBC or CNN, then it's just people being unfair to the president. So, I honestly feel like we are in a time period that we will never have the facts. We will never truly have anyone willing to report the facts. There will always be Sean Hannity standing over everyone, calling them all assholes, and that they don't have proper faith in the president or whatever. So we're
big old turd in a truth punch bowl.
Yeah, this is just what we have to deal with. So yeah. You know, I don't know where we go from here. I just know that I think the most important part is having. I definitely believe in the free press, and I definitely believe that we need to have the ability for our media to honestly report the news. And I whether it's liberal or it's conservative, I'm not a big fan of the tone in which the news is reported. But how else are we going to get the news? I mean, if you're going to report the news honestly, then yeah, then it doesn't need tone, but it's going to have tone. I mean, unless you're watching like the local NBC affiliate, then sure, it may not, but that's just the way it is. So, well, Zach, I sincerely appreciate you joining me this evening, and it definitely made this all that much easier. We will definitely have to do it again very soon.
Absolutely.
Do you have anything?
We might have a Barrett and Zach podcast coming up.
I would not be opposed to that. In fact, I would abandon this one and do that one. That would be... That would probably be more entertaining.
The second time is just as fun as the first.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, sir, I appreciate it. We will do it again very soon. Ladies and gentlemen, that was Zach King. So we will have him on again very soon. And Zach, thank you very much. You have anything to plug?
At the moment, I do not, but hopefully coming soon.
All right. Terrific. Well, thank you, Zach. We'll do it again very, very soon. Baby, baby, why could you sit still?
if I could.